So good to be in God's house tonight. Let me say how much we do appreciate your hospitality. The meeting has been wonderful. The food has been great. We do appreciate Brother and Sister Roadcap. They have been precious friends over the years. And we do love them, love the people here. And I'm just glad to be a part of this youth service. My wife's got to where she's ragging me pretty heavy that I'm smelling 50. She tells me daily that I'm getting old and she's not. And I remind her she ain't but 2 years behind me. But she said, but you're getting old. And so, you know, I told her today when I went to the trailer, I said, I get to preach at a youth service. I'm still young. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm still young. And so somebody asked me today, so how old are you? I said, I'm going on 47. And I can't focus on 47 for looking at 50. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Tell my knees that when I get up in the morning and the shoulders and everything else that aches. Hallelujah. But it's good to be here. Let's get on into the Word of God. Numbers chapter 21. Somebody asked me if I was nervous. I said, yeah, like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And when I get nervous, I go blank. And it just sets up a chain reaction, and I get dangerous. Amen. But I pray the Lord will help us here. Numbers 21 and verse number 8. Numbers 21 and verse number 8. The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. May we see the mercies of the master. They'll not be the madness of the minister tonight. You may be seated. Thank you. Amen. Paul makes this statement in Romans chapter 8, verse number 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now I want to preach to two groups of people here tonight. I want to preach to the sinner, and I also want to preach to the saint. Right. Amen. And I want to preach on there is a remedy. There is a remedy. I know earlier in this meeting we heard preaching on the power of the temptation. Not really wanting to focus on the temptation, but I want to focus on the fact there is a remedy. Amen. You see, the serpent first shows its head in Genesis chapter 3. The serpent comes to Eve. It really doesn't matter how you think or look about the subject of the serpent, whether he possessed a creation of God, which I really doubt, because at that time the creation of God was perfect. The fallen had not taken place. When we read the words in Genesis 3 verses 1, we find that it's serpent, and the serpent is always synonymous with Satan. He was more subtle than any beast of the field. Subtility. What a description of the adversary. When we look in these verses of scripture, you must first understand there is a serpent, and he beguiles or begets sin. Remember that. The serpent begat sin. That sin was the sin of unbelief. Unbelief is the root of all sin. Amen. It is the root of all sin. We first find the serpent here in the garden. Then we find the serpent again here in our reading in the book of Numbers. Unlike the serpent that begets sin in Genesis, this serpent in Genesis do not beget sin, but it is sin that begets the serpent. Amen. First, you have the serpent in the garden. He begets the sin. But now we've got sin, the sin of unbelief that caused this children to disbelieve or untrust God. And they begin to complain and grumble about the way God was taking care of their needs. Sin begat the serpents. I want to tell you here tonight, my friend, if you've got sin in your life, sin as sin nature, it will beget serpents. Amen. You can put a tag on those serpents, but you've got serpents in your life. But I want to tell you, there is a remedy. Amen. Told you I want to talk to two groups of people. First, the sinner. Second, the saint. When I look at these verses of scripture, we have the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. We understand that as a whole, the children of Israel are synonymous, or they are a type of the saint. They are being bought. They have been purchased by God. When they cross the Red Sea, it is a type of salvation. They are saved. But then the writer tells us that there is a mixed multitude that followed them. So, amen, with that consensus of scripture, that I am persuaded not everybody got bit by a serpent in this wilderness. Amen. Only those who had sin begat the serpents. Amen. I hope the Lord will help me here. I just got this today in prayer. Didn't get it out of a book. Didn't get it off of a CD. So I hope the Lord will help me to put my thoughts together. These sin begat serpents, but they were some saints. Hallelujah. Amen. And those saints also were troubled by the serpents. Amen. Come on now. You can say what you want to. I know we're saved and I know we're sanctified, but there comes times when the master has to pull us aside and wash our feet again because we have problems with the serpents. Amen. If you're a saint, you shouldn't have no problem with the, amen, with the sin or the serpent of sin. Amen. But we do have problems with serpents. Ah, help me, Lord. But there is a remedy for the sinner. We find that God gives Moses the remedy. Take the likeness of, amen, what is causing the problem. Amen. Like curing like. It is an uplifting of the serpent heals the mischief wrought by a serpent. Take the likeness of that serpent, impale it upon a cross, lift it up, and all that look upon it shall be healed. All those who have sin in their life, when they look upon the serpent, amen. In other words, God, I know this is a foreshadowing of what Christ does at Calvary. I understand that. Please don't misunderstand me. But when he lift that serpent up, I believe that he was setting forth a prophecy that I'm going to take the power of the serpent in the garden that begets sin in the life of humanity. I'm going to take his power and his authority away and his rule away, and I'm going to give you victory over the sin that is in your life. You're sitting here tonight and you may be a sinner just like these that went with the children of Israel. Amen. When they cross the Red Sea, a type of salvation. When they're in the wilderness, that is a type of sanctifying or bringing under subjection of the flesh. But notice, when the way became discouraged and it became difficult, those who followed the Lord because they knew it was right but loved him not, amen, they grew weary. And a rebellious heart makes it hard to follow. Amen. Sin always causes the compassing instead of the going straight up to the possessing. Hallelujah. You're here among us and you're sitting on the pew and the way is getting difficult. But there's just something about difficult times. It reveals the truth or the reality of your heart. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, there's a remedy. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. I was worried about it. I was wishing they'd sing and sing it down so I wouldn't have to preach. I get up here and ain't got much time now. I wish I had more time. Hallelujah. Amen. But there is a remedy. Sinner, amen. I want you to look with me, please. As Romans tells us, Christ took upon him the serpent in the wilderness, as I told you, is a type of lifting up, a type of conquering, a putting a death of that first enemy, that serpent that came into the garden. But it doesn't stop there, my friend. There is another enemy, and that enemy is called self. Amen. You remember the first serpent created the sin, but now in Numbers 21, it is the sin that creates the serpents. Hallelujah. Amen. And a lot of times you and I are dealing with serpents, self-inflicted wounds, but Jesus took upon him the likeness of sinful flesh. Hallelujah. At
very thing that troubles us, that very thing that afflicts us, sinner and saint alike. We have to deal with him on a daily basis. But I hear him say this, take up your cross and follow me. Amen. Why cross? It is an instrument of death. What am I going to put on that cross? I'm going to put my flesh as he put his flesh. Hallelujah. And I could put my flesh there because he put it there. He crucified it. He conquered it. He overcame it. And so I could put myself there and I can die. Where he dies once, I die daily. I said where he dies once, I die daily. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Amen. Take up your cross. Follow me. Follow him where? To my Golgotha. I must die daily. Why can I do that? Because he took the likeness of sinful flesh. Amen. That same flesh that was full of that original sin of unbelief that caused more serpents to be produced and it afflicted them in that wilderness. As I told you, I believe there were two classes of people in this group. I don't believe everybody got bit by the serpent. There are those who never sinned with Korah. There are those who never sinned. Amen. Help me, Lord. Amen. There are those who never sinned with the golden calf. For when Moses says, who's on the Lord's side? We read that there is a group that separates himself. And they're on the side of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to know tonight, who's on the Lord's side? But we're on the Lord's side, but yet you and I, we have our afflictions. We have our struggles. We have our troubles. Hallelujah. There's serpents. I said there's serpents, but there's a remedy. Hallelujah. I said there's serpents, but there's a remedy. I said there's serpents, but there's a remedy. There's a remedy to the sinner who has been bitten by the serpent, and your life is full of the venom of sin. Look. The serpent has been impaled. Hallelujah. I said, look, the serpent has been impaled. Hallelujah. But to the saint that is troubled by the serpents that are produced by sin, look, there is a Christ that hangs at Calvary. Hallelujah. He's took upon him the veil of sinful flesh. Everything that afflicts us, he nails it. I said, he nails it. Hallelujah. No, it's not a separate act. Amen. Amen. For the writer would tell us. Amen. As Moses in John chapter 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent. Hallelujah. Like. Oh, help me, Lord. Amen. Like. Curing like. The very thing that was afflicting them. God turned it and used it for their cure. Now I wish I had, brother, some brains. Hallelujah. Amen. Like curing light. An uplifting. Amen. By man death came, but by man resurrection came. Hallelujah. The serpent on the pole was, as it were, executed by hanging on a tree. Amen. And so was the more lively type of the crucified one who was made a curse for us. Hallelujah. Amen. I really didn't want to get into besetting sins. I really didn't feel that impression. Amen. Sinner, there ain't but one thing for you tonight, and that is you got to look to Calvary. Amen. And deal with the sin that's within. But saint, amen, you're dealing with serpents. You're dealing with besetting sins. You're dealing with, oh, don't look at me like that. Amen. If you get angry, you get frustrated, you get aggravated, you get the wrong attitude, you say the wrong thing. Amen. You need to pray it through. Let's be honest with ourselves. If we have tempers, if we've got bitterness, if we've got pride, and the list goes on and on. But I come to tell you tonight, amen, there is a remedy. And that remedy hung on a cross. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Help me, Lord. Please help me. Hallelujah. In my mind, I cannot fathom anybody. For the commentators would say that the biting of these serpents caused a very heinous death. Amen. A very painful death. Sin causes a painful death. And so in my little finite mind, hey man, I cannot fathom anybody that would be bitten by that serpent that would not run, amen, to the center of the camp to find the uplifting of the cross and looking thereon the final life. I can't fathom them not doing that. I said I can't fathom that. But when I read the pages of God's library, I find that there are those who are so caught up in what they're going through, amen, or for whatever reason, their pride, they would not look up. Hallelujah. The writer said the God of this world have blinded their minds. I want to tell you the only way they can look up, friend, is you and I first have to bind the strong man. Hallelujah. We've got to pray that God binds the God of this world and roll back the darkness of the unbelief and pray that the light of the gospel shines forth in their life. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, we point our finger at the sinner. But what about us saints? Huh? Now, Brother Bill said he was a very backwards person before he got saved. I was backwards before I got saved, and I still am. I'm trying my best, Brother Bill, to conquer it. Amen. It's taken the Lord to help me. I couldn't get up in school and give a book report. Give me a zero. I didn't want to do that till I got home and Daddy found out about it. He had the remedy anyway. But I'm backwards. And I said that to say this. Backwards people are self-conscious people. Amen. You feel like everybody's a watching you. Everybody's a looking at you. Everybody's a thinking something about you. And so when the preacher preaches, you may not be guilty of some gross sin, yet you feel the pricking of the word of God in your heart. Come on here. I said I'm a preaching to sinners and saints. Amen. And we've got a snake problem. I said we've got a snake problem. Are you hearing me? You might as well admit it with me. Some of you saints has got a snake problem. Amen. They may be indirectly or directly, but there's a snake problem. Hallelujah. Amen. But the greatest fault is the fact that you and I are not willing, amen, to turn our eyes toward the remedy. Hallelujah. I don't know how long I'm going to preach this. Amen. But all day in prayer, I just kept hearing the Lord whisper in my ears. Hallelujah. There's a remedy. There's a remedy. There's a remedy. There's a remedy. Help me, Lord. I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but I want to look on the remedy. Hallelujah. But his dying at Calvary, amen, if that was all there was to it, Paul said we had been men of almost miserable, but it didn't end with the death, amen, of the crucifying of the flesh. Hallelujah. There's a resurrection of newness, of life. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God has promised us life. I'm preaching hard and fast because I ain't got much time and I'm trying to keep up with my train of thought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to slow down. It won't let me. Huh? But you're here. Amen. There's a remedy. Huh? Come on here. I really felt this today in prayer. I know our brother preached the other night about the power of temptation. And I told you I didn't come to deal with temptation. But I want to deal with the remedy. But we all face it. Amen. When I got to studying this today, amen, I noticed one thing that kept repeating itself in the reading. The writer said, that they had become weary. They had become tired. They had become overcome. They had become discouraged. Amen. Of their journey. Amen. They're complaining and they're grumbling. And the unbelief did not come to surface until the pressures of the trial begin to press down on them. I'll be honest with you, when the pressures get on me, sometimes some things that come up ain't the prettiest things. And I have to take them to an altar. I said, I got to take them to an altar. Hallelujah. And pray them through. Come on here. Amen. Just because I got saved one night many years ago and I repented, that wasn't the last time that I found me an altar and I repented. Amen. It wasn't but a few days ago I felt the Lord prick my heart and I repented. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. They got weary in their journey. Hallelujah. And when you get weary, that's when the serpent wants to show up and he wants to beget sin. When you get weary, that's when sin wants to beget the serpents. Hallelujah. Huh? You're here tonight. You be honest with me. Preacher, I'm weary. Huh? We're living in an hour where everybody's tired. Everybody's beat down. Everybody's discouraged. And when I get tired, I get frustrated easy. When I'm weary and I'm worn down and I'm beat, I get aggravated easy. Amen. I was studying today and I got my little printer out. And every time I pull that thing out, it don't come out very often, but when it comes out, it don't never want to work. It took over 30-something minutes to get the ink to break loose and start printing. Well, when I got done, I was frustrated. And I kept having to say, now, self, we're going to stay calm. Self, I'm not going to let this get to me. Self, we got to put it on. Oh, come on here. Amen. Their problem did not begin to come to surface until they got weary in well-doing. But all of a sudden, there are the serpents. Amen. You've got serpents in your life, and you and God know what they are. But do you hear this? There came a time, amen, that they cried unto Moses. Hallelujah. Amen. There must come a cry. I said there must come a cry. Amen. Not only is there a remedy, and you and I must look at it, but that ain't all we've got to do, my friend. There must come a cry from the heart. Amen. A Lord, a cry. Peter said, Lord, save me. Somebody talking about Peter walking on the water. And we want to point our finger at Peter. He walked out and he walked back. Hallelujah. We forget that. I said he walked out and he walked back. But that walking back would have not occurred if he was not willing to make a confession. Amen. Lord, save me. I come to tell somebody tonight, there is a remedy. Huh? I walked through my trailer this evening. Maybe I ought not to do this. Maybe I ought not to express it. But I'm like Paul. Sometimes I don't know no other way to preach but just to get a little personal. But I prayed, Lord, am I the only one that's dealing and fighting and wrestling and struggling with this? Am I the only one, God, that's the adversary is on and I've been wrestling him for a while? And I felt the Lord say, no, son, you ain't the only one. Hallelujah. And I feel like there's some folks in this service tonight and the crowds are growing a little bit larger. Amen. And the elders are outnumbering the youth. And I want to talk to every one of you. Amen. Weariness have set in. And we begin to ponder and we wonder, Lord, is it just me that I'm facing this? But I'm going to tell you, you need to look. There is a remedy and there has to be a confession. Then there has to be a petition. They would petition Moses, pray unto the Lord. The very man that they despise, the very man they got upset with, the very man they wish they could change the leadership, had to run to him and they had to ask, make a petition unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord gives an application. Amen. I'm going to let you put up a serpent, and they've got to look on it. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Their salvation was divinely appointed. The Lord said, make thee a serpent. This provision, like the incarnation and the death of Christ, could never have been suggested by man. Man can invent no remedy for sin. Are you hearing me? By a serpent they had been bitten. By one in a form of a serpent, they must be healed. Help me, Lord. Amen. Divinely appointed. Their salvation was divinely suitable. Set it up on a pole, and everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. How easy can that be? Huh? How easy can that be? You're here tonight, and you're in need of a remedy. It's very simple. We call it an altar. But the Old Testament would say a looking upon. We've got to look to Calvary. And it was divinely effective. Any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? It was divinely effective. Any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. None looked in vain. None perished that trusted in him. Any man, it matter not how many serpents had bitten him or how few. It matter not whether he were rich or poor. The promise of God was, he that looketh shall live. Are you hearing me tonight? I said, he that looketh is a divine appointment. God so loved man that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's divinely suitable. Hallelujah. Buy it without price. Buy it without money. Hallelujah. We were redeemed, not with the corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the very blood. Are you hearing me? I couldn't do it, but he did. I said I couldn't do it, but he did. And it's divinely effective. Amen. If you'll look, you'll live. I said, if you'll believe, you'll live. There is a deliverance from your serpent. Hallelujah. I know it's almost service time, but can somebody come to the piano and get us a song, please? Hallelujah. I'm trying to be careful. Trying to be careful. But I come to preach to somebody tonight. There's a remedy. Sinner, what is it? What is it that you're so bound by? What is it? They're all but the serpents of your sin, the sin of unbelief. What has you bound? No name tags have to be given. One can imagine. One can only guess. You know what they are. There's a remedy. Saints of God, while we walk this low land of sin and sorrow, we have to die daily, Paul said. Bringing under subjection. We're troubled. We have those trials and those things that afflict us. What is it that troubles you? What is it that bothers you? There is a remedy. I've been chewing on that verse of scripture, Galatians 2 and 20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Immediately my mind goes back to the other verse, take up your cross and follow me. I'm crucified, Paul said. Then he said, nevertheless I live. I'm still walking and breathing, but yet not I. This is the key to victory. Not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. TH on the end of that word makes it a continuous state of being. Christ liveth. there's a remedy for whatever ails you tonight. I sit in a chiropractor's office out in Oklahoma. He gave me a name of a doctor down in Texas. I have not been able to corroborate this. This is just simply his word. He gave the name of the man in Texas. Said the man had created an instrument through much experimentation. He had discovered that radio waves cured cancer. He kept experimenting with different frequencies and discovered that different frequencies killed different kinds of cancer. The government steps in and tells him, tell nobody, tell no one. We'll destroy everything and take your license. We even put you in prison. He told no one, but word got out. There's a remedy. It wasn't very long that he got to telling me. He said they got to come in from different states. They got to come in from different countries. And it got the attention of the government. They knew there was a remedy. He said the AMA and the government came in and shut him down. Took everything. Put a lockbox on it. Hushed it up. We don't want nobody to know about it. But I want to tell you tonight, though as much as the enemy would like to come, and he would like to put a lockbox on everything, and convince you that there ain't no hope, I come to tell somebody tonight, there is a remedy. As they play and sing very quickly here, you lift your hands with this preacher's every head bowed and every eyes closed. You say, preacher man, I'm that sinner. And I've got some sin in my life. And I need the remedy.
There is a remedy.
Come on, friend.
For every sin, sin.
You may be a saint.
There is
You're
a
dealing with the trials of life and the struggles of life.
For the pain, the hurt, and wrong.
Serpents of life
There's
have come.
A solution.
They're afflicting.
For the problems
Say, preacher,
deep
I need that
inside,
remedy.
There
you lift your
is
hand.
A remedy. His name is Jesus.
Very quickly.
Christ.
Come on, children of God.
There is a remedy.
You got to be honest with yourself.
For every sin, sick so
James said, if he say
you
have no sin,
cure for all.
Make God a liar.
The pain, the hurt, and wrong.
No, I'm not advocating that we are sinning Christians. That ain't what I'm preaching.
For the problems down
But we have our struggles.
There's
we have
a
our
remedy.
Battles.
His name is Jesus Christ.
Would you lift your hands and let's praise the Lord tonight? Come
there
on, church.
There is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all. For the pain, the hurt, and wrong, there is a solution. For the problems deep inside, there is a remedy. His name is Jesus Christ. I'm glad there's a remedy.
Are you glad there's a remedy?
For every sin sick soul, there is a cure for all.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
For all the pain, the hurt, and wrong, there is a solution. For all the problems down inside, there is a remedy. His name is Jesus Christ.